Blog Talk Radio.
Too much diet fluid and too much diesel.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. We're glad to have you with us tonight.
Okay, bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye for now. Love you, man.
Love you, too. Everybody else, too.
All right. Well, good evening, YouTube. You know it's real when you can see us sitting there staring at the screen. You'll know. That's the one. That's real. Because just patiently waiting for the miraculous to happen, and that miraculous is that it actually works. And so, welcome everybody. It is January the 4th. My. Here we go. It is it's like we are already going. And really, we're going to see this year go a cruising like no other year we've ever experienced. And I really,
yeah, amen.
I really honestly believe we're going to see wide open. But that's all right. We're not afraid. At least I'm not afraid. I hope you're not afraid. Do not be afraid. And anyway, don't be afraid. But please learn the lesson of get alone with God every day and make sure you're spending time in the presence of God, knowing that he's always going to be with you, always. One of the great revelations I've had in this last year is I have believed the words that these men of God have said. When you look at Jesus, Jesus rebuked people for their unbelief when they couldn't believe what somebody else said who was an eyewitness. He rebuked them for it. So I'm never going to be that guy. I'm going to be the one that says, I believe what you said, Jesus. I truly believe that what you said, you're going to do. However, in the same context in that, I also, I'm going to not only believe it, I'm going to go and do it. And even though I may not have it all functioning effectively in my life, you want to say it with me? I believe.
I believe.
I do believe. And I'm not only going to believe, but I'm going to truly believe. Now, let me grab one more thing here. Why are you showing everybody else except tonight? There it is. Get my comments up here where I can see them. Brother Rogers over there on YouTube already. Good to have you with us tonight, Brother Roger. And all y'all share this with somebody. This is going to be a very great, awesome, wonderful night. We're gonna go through a lot of verses of scripture like we always do, and I thoroughly expect you to have a notepad. I thoroughly expect you to have your iPad, your computer, your two screens, your three screen, your ice cream for ice cream. Because when we study to show ourselves approved unto God, when we study to show ourselves approved unto God, it takes all of you doing what you're going to do, sitting here looking at this screen. I'm going to study, and I'm going to show myself approved to God, but I'm going to need you to study and show yourself approved to God. Because
when we study the source,
hey, don't be getting so rowdy there. That guy was just going crazy, wasn't he? When we study to show ourselves approved unto God, all of a sudden, there's a great, big, powerful move of God in our life. Tonight, we're going to be dealing with our theme for this year, 2024, the year of the open door that leads to the abundance of more. And, you know, when God gives me those, you know, like that, in my first couple of thoughts about it is, oh, my, this is a good statement. But I'm not quite as bold as Brother Jerry is yet. I've got a whole book written for you already, you know. I'm not quite there yet. But you know, it only takes a few times of making a prophetic statement like that, and that begins to build down inside of you. And the more you say it, the more that God can bring the victory to you. And so thank God for the victory in our life every single day. Thank God for that victory. Now, let's talk about our fasting schedule, because I want to encourage you to fast. Now, listen, let's just put this right out here. Immediately right at the beginning, okay? And that is this. If that's not something that you're going to do, that's all right. Don't throw a wet blanket on somebody else's faith that's really reaching for God and they need to do that. Is that a good statement? Jesus taught a fasted life. Now, I'm not going to be teaching about fasting tonight. We have taught many days on fasting here, and we have fasted every year. And so I encourage you tonight, you know, seek God. Ask God what you should do. Don't ask me. And whatever you do, don't tell anybody else what you're going to do, because that's between you and God. That's one of those things that you keep between you and God. And so, you know, I just encourage you. Jesus told the disciples, this kind of unbelief only comes out through prayer and fasting. Well, why does it come out through prayer and fasting? Because you give up a biscuit or a steak or some Jell-O? No, it's because when you give it up, when you fast and pray and get along with God, you're going to get open to God. You're going to get open to Him. And then when you open up your heart to Him, He's going to be able to get in on the inside and begin to make some differences. Because the only reason you and I don't walk in supernatural, mighty miracles of God is we've got some kind of an understanding that blocks the supernatural from happening. Because in heaven, it's already done. On earth, your spirit is already perfectly one with the Father. The only thing that's got to happen now is you got to get your mind to get in line with the Word of God so you can understand where the Father is. And from that, get your body in line and say, body, you're not going to dictate to me what I do. No more fleshly appetites. I'm not going to drink coffee when I shouldn't. I'm not going to drink pop when I shouldn't. I'm just going to eat peas and drink water and sit on a mountain with a white sheet. No. The idea is walk with God. You walk with God. And that's going to be a blessing to you. And so this week, from now through Sunday, we're doing a very simple fast, and that's your sweets. Just fast sweets. That's a simple thing to do. And then next week, we're going to fast everything, even water. You're just going to live a dry week and remember how good it was to be moist. No, that's a joke. Okay? And so, you know, next week, we're going to fast meats. And You'll be all right. I encourage you. You'll be all right. Eat some peanut butter. Boil some eggs. The important thing is not about how much food you give up. It's about enter into the presence of Almighty God. And one guy told me, well, I've heard it many times. Man, Pastor, I try to fast, and my whole body revolts. Oh, it's Andrew Womack that said it. You get a headache, you puke, and, you know, your eyes blur and everything. And he's like, well, what is it? It's working. You're fasting, and it's working. Your flesh is showing you just how much control it has over you. So I encourage you, take control early this year in Jesus' mighty name. You know, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees who stood on the corner and said, I fast every day, or every week I fast and I pray. And you're like, wow, what is that? That's somebody that wants to be seen, and that's not of our God ever. That's not ever going to be of our God. And so we don't do what we do to be seen. We do what we do to walk with God. If somebody sees it, well, all right. And if nobody sees it, guess what? All right. Because we don't do what we do to be seen by man. When that's your motive, that's a selfish, pride-filled motive. And that's not ever going to bring you the answers you want in your life. You know, it's like I argued with God many days before I went live right here on this program in 2020. I'm like, I don't want to do that. Well, why not? Because I got to sit here in front of this camera and people see my face, and I don't want that. And then my friend posted what he posted, and I could hear him, Father saying, he's going to hell. No, I don't want him to go to hell, you know. And then that guy never came to the program. But a lot of other people did, and we changed the lives of a lot of people. I think that we probably are going to be able to say there's probably several hundred people who received their first communion right here with us online in this program, because we had people texting it in, putting it in Facebook and YouTube all the time, saying, wow, this was my first communion I've ever received. Thank you, guys. And this has changed my life. Well, what a blessing to be that kind of a blessing right here in this program. Now, our theme for the year, again, I'm going to read it. 2024, the year of the open door that leads to the abundance of more. And I know some of you are going to be like, well, I understand the open door, Pastor, but I don't understand this abundance of more. Oh, just stick with us, because we're going to teach about it. We're going to teach about it. I encourage you throughout this year, like I do every year, every time you're reading anywhere in your Bible, I encourage you to circle or highlight or notate somehow every time you see a reference of God saying his blessing is going to come upon you in any form. Because all of a sudden you're going to realize, man, God talked about that a whole bunch all the way through the Bible. And if you don't know how to count in whole bunches, well, I would encourage you to go to like fifth grade at your local grade school and ask them. They can teach you how to count in whole bunches. Don't worry about it. If you didn't get it, it was just a pretty good joke. Now, tonight, are we ready for tonight? Yeah, we got anything else we got to say? Yes. Oh, wait, yes. Let's say one more thing. Remember, if you are trying to be a part of this program, I recommend you click like, subscribe, and hit the bell on YouTube so that you're notified every time we go live. Not because of me, because this program is about faith. That's all we're ever going to deal with here is faith. You're going to put faith in absolutely everything we teach. Why? Because this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So the greatest lesson we're ever going to have to study is the lesson of faith. We can move mountains. We can stop the mouths of lions. We can quench the fire. We can walk on water. We can split the water. By faith, men and women of God have done all of the above. And, so welcome. Now, tonight, Brother Roger's there. Rebecca's there. Sister Tracy's there. All right. It's good to have all y'all with us tonight. Tonight, we're going to teach a lesson about be what God made you to be. Say this with me. I choose to be everything God made me to be.
Everything God made me to be.
Now, that is a very, very interesting statement that has a very interesting statement in it and is very interesting to find out what that's all about in Jesus' mighty name. So here we go. Let's get ourselves started. We're going to say the opening prayers here tonight. Wait, let's do this first. Sister Phyllis, am I free to ask everyone to pray?
Yeah.
Okay. Pray for Sister Phyllis. The home she lives in is her daughter Barbara Ann's home. And this week, Barbara Ann's husband had a stroke and then went on home to heaven. And so they're dealing with all of the details of his memorial service and putting that all together and learning their life. I want us to pray for them tonight and put them on your prayer list and hold them up in prayer. He's quite a guy and a good dad and a good husband and a good son-in-law, according to Sister Phyllis. I don't know him, but I trust her judgment of him. And so let's pray for this family. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we declare over this family, Cowboy and Barbara Ann, in the mighty name of Jesus, first of all, we speak life and life more abundantly to this family. Barbara Ann's now going to have to lead the family. She needs the life of God to be strong and powerful in her being. The children, the grandchildren will need to have the life of God in them, come from their mama, from their grandma, from our Sister Phyllis, great grandma, however she is. In the name of Jesus, we declare life more abundantly to this family. We declare every detail comes together for this family that has to. We declare every person that needs to be there for this memorial of life and whatever they're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we call more people to be won on this day from Cowboy's life than has ever been won throughout his whole life, Jesus. May his testimony be a testimony that can be heard even on this day. And then, according to your holy word, Jesus, you said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And therefore, we say to this family and all of this friends in this community, be comforted by Almighty God through Jesus' blood and righteousness. I declare the power of the Holy Spirit is so amazingly strong, so amazingly awesome, that in the name of Jesus, miracles happen from Cowboy's life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. May every one of them have the dreams and the visions and the revelation in the night season while they're sleeping, the prayers that this gathering of believers, this ecclesia has been praying now for a year, we declare it comes to pass in their life right now, tonight. And Father, we give you the glory for this, and we give you the honor We give you the praise. Father, we pray for Brother Ken Miller tonight the family, Carol's family.
Yeah.
As we know that Carol's about ready to cross over to the other side. May the angels of Almighty God fill this room where this person, where Carol is. May everyone in that room see God Almighty face to face. May the angels of the Lord surround and protect him and keep him safe, Lord. Be with Ken and the children. Once again, we declare life and life more abundantly in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. And now, Father, I declare tonight over everyone that may possibly be listening to us tonight, right now live, or that will come in the future and hear this program. If you're fighting a debilitating disease, I declare over you, lift your hands and receive this prayer. According to Mark chapter 16, he said, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they will. And we'll cast out demons. We'll heal the sick. We'll speak with new tongues. If we drink anything deadly, it'll have no effect on us. Amen. And I speak life and life more abundantly to you. Cancer, shrivel up and die. AIDS, shrivel up and die. Whatever they're trying to call COVID now, shrivel up and die.
Amen.
And no longer have any effect. Their body in Jesus' mighty name. I declare that autism be healed in the mighty name of Jesus. Say this with me. Lift your hands and say, trauma, go from my life.
Trauma, go from my life.
I receive the healing power of God, filling my whole being in Jesus' mighty name. Lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, fill me.
Holy Spirit, fill me.
From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. So that the power of God works from the inside out. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And I feel like singing. Let's sing it. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Now, Father, thank you that we can come to you every minute of every day. And according to the book of 1 John, we know that you have heard our prayer. And we know we have the petition that we ask. We know it. We know it. We declare right now tonight how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth and you and me with the Holy Spirit and power, and we go about doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. And I declare victory for every person that's listening tonight within the sound of my voice. This will be one of the greatest messages you've ever heard. Because your heart's open and your pen's ready and your pad's empty and your Bible's close by in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen, 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 amen.
I have a message saying the content of this meeting is being sent to a third party. Do you feel that, or do you know what?
Yeah, that's just a statement to let you know it's being streamed. We're the first party. We're the first party. Zoom is the second. YouTube is the third. They just changed that message.
I was going to say they just changed the word. Yeah.
So, welcome. Welcome, 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 welcome. We're going to have a good time tonight studying God's holy word. Now, let's pray our opening prayer, because I really like it when we... Well, I already got that up there. I really like this prayer. And I said, Lord, give me an opening prayer. And this is what he gave me. Can't beat that, can you? When you ask God to do something and he actually does it, and then we actually give him glory for it. I don't know if you can tell, but there was nothing smug in that. It's just a statement that many times we ask God to do something and then we don't say thank you. Let's not be that person. Here we go. Let's say our opening prayers. This is the pledge to the Christian flag. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now, Father, I pray for the families of the fallen. And from Amir's post today, Father, we've lost quite a few of our troops in these battles going on in the Middle East, and nobody's talking about it. In the mighty name of Jesus, may this word get out and the truth get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our leaders protect and defend the territory that is ours. And if they refuse, then Father, in the name of Jesus, we already have fired them as we the people because of their actions. Now we ask you to help them be removed and get out of the way so that we can protect and defend this great nation in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus. And our troops will no longer be told you can't fire back. You have to just be sitting ducks. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the name of Jesus, may the right person stand up. David, Joseph, Daniel, rise up and make the move that's got to be made.
Yeah.
In Jesus' mighty name we
Jesus,
pray.
Mighty name.
Brother Amir Safadi had a live video today, and he said, I need to say something to you Americans, because you don't realize that the bases all over the Middle East that are American bases are being attacked hourly, not weekly, not daily, multiple times throughout the day, and they're not allowed to fight back.
Why?
And so, in the name of Jesus, we've got to bring, we've got to expose this. We've lost a number of our troops who were killed in attacks, enemy on our base. And so, in the name of Jesus, we declare this stops now. And Americans rise up, Democrats and Republicans rise up, and may they both parties come together and oust these people who are acting so treasonously not to protect our great nation. salvation.
Yes, amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Here we go. Our opening prayer. Pray this with us. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration boldly through the blood of Jesus as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry. Believers' lives will be changed forever
by
the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today.
In Jesus'
name we pray. Amen and amen. Come, it didn't change. Here we go. The commanded blessing of unity. Let me say something. If there's ever been a time that America needs to live by our motto, United We Stand, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And right now in the realm of the spirit, I call upon all Americans across this nation to realize there's a serious enemy amongst us, and it's trying to destroy America, and we must stand united. I call Democrats and Republicans. I call the independents and I've lost my word. Anyways, and those that don't have any idea what to be, call you together now. United we stand, and we will defend this great nation in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray this together and speak it. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of God. For there, in dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. Think about it. The Lord commands a blessing. That's pretty big when God's commanding a blessing on your life. Here we go. All believers are one and the same.
In
God our
Father.
There is one body and one spirit.
Just
as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Here's the result. So that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose the wicked plotting of wicked spiritual leaders. But speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective work by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Now, I want to just keep right on making confession because I love it. However, we better get to the word. According to my records over here on my end, there's about 9 of us watching tonight. And welcome, guys. We're glad to have you with us tonight. See if I can get this all shut down. There we go. Now, tonight we're going to be teaching, be what God made you to be. You remember what God said to Moses when he was on the side of the mountain? Who will I say sent me? What did God say? I am that I am. So you want to say it with me? I will be who I am supposed to be. Amen?
Amen.
Say,
I will be
what I am supposed to be on this earth in Jesus' mighty name. Now, here we go. Let's look at a bunch of verses that talk about you and me being what we're supposed to be on this earth. So, we're going to go first to one of our favorite verses around here, and that's Psalm 139. Somebody shout out, I love the word. Psalm 139.
I love the word.
Hallelujah. Psalm 139, verse, let's go to 13, and we'll go down through 18. It says, Brother David speaking. Where's the confession for the word? You remember? Hold your Bible up to say this. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Today I will be taught the word of God.
Today I will be taught the word of God.
And this word is planted in my heart.
And this word is planted in my
heart. As a seed.
As a seed.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
A hundredfold return and more.
In my life.
In my life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty
now,
name.
Now, lift both hands and say, thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
You are my resident teacher.
You are my resident.
And you live within me.
You live within me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' name.
I can tell that that was a revelation for some of you. It's a good one. You don't have to worry about getting God to come down from heaven or up from hell. Jesus raised up from hell. He already did it. God with the Holy Spirit inside of you to lead you from the inside out, not from the top side down trying to get through your thick skull. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Who's the psalmist saying is doing this? God Almighty. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Now watch this. 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret. Where was the secret place? Inside your mama's womb. The only thing we could see is it looked like she swallowed a watermelon and her belly started growing. That's the only thing we can see. Unless every now and then you kicked your foot, we might see your foot a little bit. But my frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Say this, I have a substance.
I have a substance.
And some of us have a little extra substance.
Yeah.
But see, even when you were yet unformed and you were just a speck in your mama's womb, the egg just met the sperm. You're a fighter. You had to fight to get past all the rest of them, so that you could be the one that would grow in your mama's womb. You want to say it? I'm a fighter. You are. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. The moment you were conceived, God wrote a book about you. Well, Pastor, how can God write that many books? Because there's a lot of people being conceived at this very moment right now around the world. I agree. 8 billion people around the world, how many of them are conceiving right now as we speak? That's probably a pretty good sized number. All right, this is what we know about God. His word doesn't lie, and he's got an innumerable host of angels in heaven, and they're all good scribes, and they got your name in a book and all of your days. Look at what it says. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me. Say it. My name is on a book in heaven.
My name is in a book in heaven.
Well, yeah, it's in a book, but it's also on a book. Your name is in the book of life, if you've been born again, and your name is on the book that represents you. And that book will be read. It'll be opened and read someday. That's why you want to get the blood of Jesus to completely cover everything that there is, not cover, cleanse and purge everything that's ever been written in that book, because all of your deeds of your life have been written in that book. And God wants all those pages of sin wiped out. Delete. You ever hit the delete button? Tonight. Right now, tonight. When I'm setting up the program tonight, I don't know what happened. I looked over and I deleted my whole note. And then I deleted the next one. I fucked my hands right off the computer. I'm like, what in the world is happening? And thank God that notes listened to somebody when they said, give us a delete folder so that when we accidentally make a mistake, we can go back and undelete what we deleted. And thank you, Jesus, it worked. Look at verse 17. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of those thoughts? If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand of the sea. When I awake, I am still with you. Be what God made you to be when he wrote your name on that book in heaven. And he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Think about it. The only reason people go to hell is because they don't receive the free gift of righteousness Jesus offered. You're not going to go to hell for your sin. Everybody's sinned. You go to hell for not receiving Jesus and receiving the indoctrination of the spirit of darkness. You have to choose a father. Am I going to choose the father of lies, who is not a father, he's just an angel? Or am I going to choose the true father, who's the father of life? And I'm going to walk with him. That's why we pray the prayer of salvation. So you can say, I receive you, Jesus. You change from being an earthling to now being a child of God. And all of your days in that book that's numbered, God's going to take your path, steer you right back into where you're supposed to be, restore all the years, and you're going to be right where you belong. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Look at this verse. Welcome to all of the YouTubers. Hey, Wayner's here. God bless you, Wayner.
Jeremiah, what
did you say? Jeremiah chapter 1. And we're going to go down here to verse number 4 and 5. Let's go down here through 12. 4 through 12. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's exactly what David just said in the Psalm. David said it. Now Jeremiah said it. Now, to Jeremiah, he said, before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now, not every one of you will be a prophet to the nation, but it's not about the prophet to the nation. It's about the principle. God has ordained the steps for every one of us to walk in. Already laid out in front of me. I just got to get my feet in. Remember Elijah? God said, Elijah, go prophesy to Ahab, it's not going to rain. He went in there, said, it's not going to rain until I say it rains again because of your wickedness. He left the king's presence, and God said, go to the brook Cherith and hide there. Why? The king's going to be after it. And he said, when you get there, I have commanded the raven to care for you. And so what did he do? He went out there to the brook, and he had water to drink, and the raven fed him bread and meat every day. A raven. Now, it wasn't like dried porcupine from a chariot run over him. No. It's not roadkill. That raven, I believe the raven took the nicest cut of meat right off the king's plate, man, yeah, and flew it right out there to him. It was still sizzling hot when he got there. And the dirty bird, the raven. I don't know that I want a raven bringing my stuff, but if God said the raven's going to come, you better accept it. Amen? But here's the point I'm making. Elijah had to follow the leading of God. Because guess what happened next? When you prophesy it's not going to rain, the brook's going to dry up. There's no rain. There's no water coming down from somewhere, and the brook's going to dry up. When it dried up, God said, now I've commanded a widow to take care of you in Zarephath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's
the widow of Zarephath?
Yeah. So, of course, if you're like me or most Americans, you'd be like, oh, a widow, got a rich lady, somebody going to take care of the prophet. And when he showed up, the lady was like picking up sticks. And Elijah said, well, I know that's the lady. And he said, ma'am, could you make me some cakes? She said, I don't have enough food for anybody but me and my son. I'm gathering these sticks. I'm going to make a fire. We're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. That sounds like a woman of great faith, doesn't it? And Elijah said to her, make me a cake first. And you know what? Some reason on the face of this earth, that lady made him a cake. And then what happened? The barrel of meal did not run out. And the cruse of oil did not fail. And when you read it, the story, not only did Elijah eat off it, but so did the widow woman. And all of her household ate off it. I thought maybe I'd come over here and just grab that real quick. There it is. Claims it out. Yeah, it is 1 Kings 17. And that's going to be 1 through 17. Verse 14, for thus says the Lord, God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, till the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her whole household ate for many days. Say this with me. All my days, even when I got to go to the brook or to the widow, are laid out for me.
Are laid out for me.
All of them are. I'm back in Jeremiah chapter 1. Look at this. Now, I think Jeremiah chapter 1 is going to be, is some of you going to sound just like Jeremiah, verse number 6. Then I said, oh, Lord, but I cannot speak, for I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm a youth. I think that's how strong God said it. Do not say I'm a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. What did Jeremiah say? I can't do what you're getting ready to ask me to do. You remember what God asked Jeremiah to do? Wasn't Jeremiah the one that had to lay in the naked in the town square for a year? Wasn't that him? You want me to do what? All right. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Don't anybody tomorrow go out and lay in the city street and say, my pastor told me that that's what I'm supposed to do. Don't do that. Lay out there naked. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said, I have put my words in your mouth. I have set you this day over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, build, and plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you've seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. The King James says, I hasten to perform my word. Want to say it? My days
were fashioned by God
when I was in the womb. and they're written in a book. They're written in a book. Let's go to the original command that God gave everybody. You ready? Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Guys are just tearing it up over here on YouTube, aren't they? Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Want to say it with me? I look just like my father. You do. Genesis 1. 26 through 31. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Keep reading. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You even have dominion over creeps. Say it. I have dominion over creeps. Some of you need to say, I have dominion over me, so I'll no longer act creepy. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. How many times is God going to say, I made you in my image? Why? He wants you and I to understand that we were made in his image and we're supposed to be like him. Have you ever supposed to been something? Remember as a kid, that's what I would say. You're supposed to be like that. Well, you are. Verse number 28. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. It's amazing what God said to man. Think about it. He put garden in that Adam. Let's try it again. He put Adam in the garden to tend and keep what he already made and said was perfect. Why? Because Adam was perfect. Adam was perfect. Verse 31. God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God made sure the last thing he created was Adam and Eve. Why? Because he had to have a perfect world for him to come to. I like Andrew Walmack's statement. Can you imagine if he put Adam here and said, whoops, I forgot he needed something to breathe. Here come all the oxygen out here. We need something to eat. Here comes all the brush and shrubs and trees and pops Adam right up in the air and he flies across, you know, the garden. No. God made a perfect place for Adam. But I want you to see this. You and I are made in the image of Almighty God. Say it with me again. I will be all God made me to be.
I will be all God made me to be.
Come on. Everybody on YouTube say it. I will be all God ever said that I would be. In Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful name. Now, think about this for a minute. You may have never, ever thought that God had as many thoughts about you as he does. You know? Let's do this. Let's go to Exodus. Wasn't necessarily in my notes, but it'll be all right.
It'll be all right.
Exodus chapter 2. verses 1 to 10. Of course, chapter 1 of Exodus, the Pharaoh killing all the Jewish boys because he heard that there's supposed to be a king coming or there's an answer coming. And so he went in and killed all the Jewish boys because he was afraid for his life. And you can kill an infant boy easier than you can kill all his family once he grows up and has a family. So all the boys were being killed at birth. Here we go. Chapter 2, verse 1. A man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. Whose design is the hiding? It's God's design. Moses was written in a book, and in that book, God said the first 3 months, he's going to live in a little tub in the water. Think about it. Let's read it. When she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the riverbank. Hold it, man. That's where the alligators are. Well, over there, they have crocodiles over there. The big ones. You see, all of our days are written in a book, and it don't matter how many crocodiles swam around that little ark, it wasn't going to eat Moses. Why? Because in Moses' book, it was written, this one will deliver my people from Pharaoh's ruling hand. How cool is that? Keep reading, verse 4. His sister stood over a fire to know what would happen to him. Even good sisters or bad sisters can't stop God's plan from coming to pass. All of my sisters are wonderful. Hopefully they're listening. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down, and her maiden walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark, she sent her maid to get it. And she opened it. She saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughters, remember, she's standing by. She's a good sister. Shall I go and tell a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughters said, well, that would be wonderful, sister. Go do it. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to the child's mother, take the child away, nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. That woman got paid to nurse her own son.
That is a good guy.
Now, wait a minute. If you've been thinking about your life, like, man, I don't know, how am I going to get God to do something for me? God's thoughts about you are so big and so huge and so many, you don't even know what it is, but think about it. God got Moses' mother's paid to eat food and nurse a baby and raise him up in the things of God. Now, coming a point where Moses' mama's going to have to take him to Pharaoh and say, oh, here you go. In the name of the Father. That was before the Catholics, but anyways. See, God paid that mama. She took care of this beautiful child that was going to be the deliverer of the whole nation of Israel. Say it. My name is in a book.
My name is in a book.
My name is on a book.
My name is on a book.
And I will be what he's called me to be. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're getting this. All right. Let's see. 8, 9. Let's go to the 9. Exodus 2:9. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away, nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. And then, of course, you and I know Moses is one of the most famous people on the face of the earth because they still talk about Moses parting the water. In business and in high tech places, they'll talk about parting the water Well, when they say those words, they're talking about Moses. Why? Because what was written about Moses in that book came to pass about his life, because God was going to have his will done in Moses' life no matter what. Remember what our theme verse is for this year? I have set before you. Wait, let me say it differently. I'm going to read it. It's Revelation 3, 7 through 9. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true. I like this one. He who has the key of David. He's got the keys. He who opens and no one shuts. And shuts and no one opens. God is at work in your life doing his best to get you on the pages of that book he wrote about you in heaven. Somebody ought to shout a really big hallelujah, glory be to God, and thank you, Jesus. All right? Now, let's go over here to let me find it. It's right there. Isn't that something? Well, you just know exactly where that verse is, and then you look at it, it's like, that's not where that is. But it'll be all right. We'll find it here in a minute. Go with me to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 22. Isn't that just something? It's right there. I know it is. Daniel chapter 7, verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Who showed up for the saints? The Ancient of Days. What's that mean? God, who had this all set up long before you or I even knew anything was there. Help me find the verse. You and me and the children are for signs and wonders in Israel. It's in the book of Daniel, isn't it? I know it is. But anyways, long before you and I ever were born, it was laid out for us to walk in these paths. We're going to go there next as soon as I get this next verse here, because this is a great verse. And I know Daniel's the one that said it.
Isaiah 8.
Sorry, Daniel.
You were in the Old Testament.
Sorry, Daniel. I really am trying to give you credit for that verse, but for some reason, Sister Leanne keeps putting it back over here in the book of Isaiah. And then when I turn there it is. So I have to believe her. Here we go. Isaiah 8, 18. Look what this says. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in the mountain of Zion. See, guys, you and I got to realize God's got such a bigger plan in store for us than anything that we have ever, ever, ever seen. And that plan is perfect. And that plan has the design of God in it for you. And every step you ever need to take is already laid out before you. Now, let's go to the New Testament and read some verses. You want to do it? I knew you did, so here we go. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1, Galatians, and then Ephesians. And if you have a good Bible, you'll find that on page 1516. And then all the other Bibles, I'm not sure where to tell you to go. Now, let's go. Let's go down here to Ephesians 1, and we're going to read verse number 3 through 12. 3 through 12. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1, 3 through 12. We have been blessed every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, you know, that's good for God to say, but how can God bless us with every spiritual blessing? Well, look around at some of the people who are living those blessings out, who through faith and patience inherit the promise and found themselves in the book. Brother Copeland at 86 years old is the oldest man to fly that style of jet he's got. And he's had to qualify. And it's one of the most rigorous trainings that you got to go through to qualify. And he's 86 years old and qualified physically, mentally, seeing and hearing and everything. And he was 86 years old. Now, wait. You might say, well, what good bully for him. You know, what's the big deal about him? Well, no, what you're realizing is he found himself in this book and has been giving himself to it for the last 60 years of his life. And look at what God's doing with his life because of it. John G. Lake, man, would walk into those leper colonies, and there would be lepers all around him, and he would hug them. He would lay hands on them. He would pray for them. Leprosy would die on them, and leprosy could not get on him. Remember how this works? In the Old Testament, if you were a leper, you had to go outside of the camp. Nobody could touch you. But in the New Testament, if you're a leper, we'll lay hands on the sick, and when I, the man of God, the servant of God, the believer, lays hands on the sick, then the sickness has got to go from the leper. See, it's a whole different point of view in this New Testament. And you and I have a book written in heaven with our name on it, and already laid out for us is every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every single blessing has already been laid out for us. I know. I can tell. I got a Missourite with me, but it's okay. I'm up for it. Because I'll just show you one more verse that's really good about this. 2 Peter chapter number 1, and let's go to verse number 2 and 3 and 4. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Check this out. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Don't miss this set of verses. As his divine power has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature of God. I skipped a whole verse.
You were just so excited.
Verse 3. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, God's plan for your life is wrapped up in that verse, and he's given unto us all things through the knowledge of him, because of exceedingly great and precious promises, that we get to be partakers of the very divine nature of God. Well, Pastor, just bite your tongue for talking like that about Jesus. I bite nobody's tongue, not even my own. I am reading to you the word of Almighty God, not one verse at a time, groups of verses at a time. Why? Because there's a book in heaven with your name on it, and God put Jesus in here, and when Jesus came in, and you said, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit has filled you. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit now live on the inside of you. Ordained by God to make it. Pastor, why didn't anybody ever teach this to me before? Well, they were as confused as you were. I got a great revelation last night. I'm driving. Watch this. So you were in heaven. Before I formed you, I knew you. So you had to be in heaven. That's where God is. Your mama and daddy got together and God said, take that one, put him in that one. And a moment that he did it, you were ordained and a book was written about your name, about you. Now watch. No matter what happens, that's still your book. The book never changes. God's plan never changes. So this is what the enemy does. The enemy listens to the voice of your mom and your dad and any spiritual leader in your life as you're growing from a little one and then a bigger one and then a bigger one and then a bigger one. And anytime anybody makes a statement about this child will be this, that enemy immediately sends sin to destroy it. Trials and tests to destroy it, persecution to destroy it, and he does his best to get a vile, wicked person in that can violate that person and make them come to the thought that, wait, that's not who I am. I am this other. I want you to get this picture. This is the greatest spiritual warfare lesson you need to learn. From the moment you were conceived, the enemy's sending fiery darts, wicked agents, to make something happen to you that creased your soul to cause you to believe that's who you were and then condemn you for believing it. Everybody just listen. Nobody say anything. Just listen. I'm going to say it again. From the moment you were conceived, the enemy sent a fiery dart. And he did his best to get an evil person across your path that could violate your life and then condemn you because that happened and cause you to believe that that's who you really are. And that's not you. That's an attack of an enemy who could tell by God when you were born and conceived, there's something great about you. So what is he going to do? He's going to person that is around you to get them to act in a way that's going to cause you to be wounded. And now your spirit is wounded. Your mind is wounded. And if it's a deep enough wound, you will be traumatized all of your life and never be free from it. And then he'll condemn you for being traumatized and never being free.
And every bad decision you made because of it. Yeah.
Did that make sense?
Yes.
Now wait. Is it really who you are? No. That's why it's so important for you and I as parents to protect and guard our children. Every minute of every day, every second that they live, to guard them and protect them and to raise them in the nurture and the admonition of Almighty God. Why? Because if we're not careful, when they become an adult, they'll have this whole bag. They'll have baggage that has come because of wicked people coming across the path of a God-sent child. And that wound gets down inside of your soul, and it's almost impossible for some people to get by it. Some people never do get by it. Some people were so wounded by their mom and dad and how they treated them and disciplined them that after their mom and dad are dead and in the grave, they're still bound by that horrible pain that they caused them when they were a child. You ready? I want you to say this with me. Whom the Son sets free.
Whom the Son sets free.
And that is me.
And that is me.
I'm free indeed.
I am free indeed.
I'm not bound by any trauma.
I'm not bound by any trauma.
I'm not bound by any persecution.
I'm not bound by any persecution.
I am free because of Jesus.
I am free.
And I am free indeed.
Yeah.
Ready? I want you to do this. Point out the closest window to you and say, trauma, go.
Trauma, go.
See, just saying that brings a lift in your spirit.
Yes, it does.
Why? Because it's taking command of your being, saying, I'm not putting up with this in my life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Ready? Let's do it again. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the power of my word.
By the power of my word.
Trauma, go.
Trauma, go.
Offense, go.
Offense, go.
Fear, go.
Fear, go.
Inferiority, go.
Inferiority, go.
Because I ain't none of that.
Because I am not any of that.
I am a mighty man of God.
I am a mighty woman of God.
In Jesus, mighty
man. In Jesus, mighty man.
See, before the foundation of the world. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Write these verses down. Some of you need to shout, amen, hallelujah, glory be to God, or something. Because listen to this now. Before the foundation of the world. That was long before you was ever here. I mean, think about it. Wait, what was in the foundation of the world? Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, the angels, right? I want to read it, but I don't have time. Remember when God started talking to Job? Remember that? God put Job right in his place, and Job said, oh, no, God's talking. I think I better pay some closer attention. Let me see. Where am I going to go next, Holy Spirit? Oh, I'm going to finish reading these verses, Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read these verses to us. Look at verse 5. Now, 4. Just as he, notice that he's capitalized, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Hey, Pastor, I was abused. I was sexually abused as a child. Well, I understand. Let me tell you something about that. That's probably because you got a very big, huge gift on the inside of you, and the enemy could see there was a gift in you, and he tried everything he could do to destroy that gift by offenses, by wounds, by pains, by abuses like that. But here's the glorious thing about God. In one small declaration, one small act of the blood of Jesus, all of that is completely washed and cleansed. You're made a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And God restores the years to your life so you don't even know you was ever even in any of that mess. Can that really happen? Yes, because before the foundation of the world, you were predestined to be adopted as a child of Almighty God. God predestined it. The enemy came against you, and an adult didn't do their part to protect and defend you. But isn't it wonderful that God doesn't hold you bound to the sins of your mom and dad? God gives every one of us a choice, and we get to make our own choice and say, God, lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Remember what David said? Lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And then he said, goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Hallelujah.
See, listen to me. God said about this year, 2024, the year of the open door. The door's wide open. Get through it. Matter of fact, I heard him say this to me. I have set before you an open door. Go through it. Go through it. Get through the open door in your life. Well, see, now all of a sudden you have to say, well, Pastor, how am I going to do it? Because I had this, and this. How many of you got a list of 5, 6, 10 things that happened to you in your life that all your lifetime has limited you, has bound you down, has confused you, has kept you low, has kept you bound, has kept you from having the joy of the Lord? You know how many people I've heard say, I'm just timid? Well, you might have been trained to be timid, but you're now filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and guess what? He ain't timid. You ever been walking in a store and you see somebody in a wheelchair and God says, go over and pray for him? And you're like, man, me, Satan, what do you, well, you can't tell God, Satan, God wanted you to go pray for that person. Pastor, what if they don't get up out of the wheelchair? It don't matter if they get up out of the wheelchair, go pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, you told me to come pray for this person. I bless them in your mighty name. Heal them in their body. In Jesus' name, amen. But see, the problem in most people is they want to, whoa, they got to get shaken a little bit. Whoa. Don't get into all that. Just go pray for them. Can I pray for you? Always ask. Always want to ask. But and then there are a few that will say no. I was surprised when it actually happened. But most people say, yes, you can pray for them. And then just be simple with it. Father, you know this person's life. You've never missed one of them. I bless them today like you told me to do. Bring healing and strength to their body. In Jesus' mighty name, I call it done now. Thank you for it. And if they get up and run out of that wheelchair, you'll have revival right in the grocery store. And it'll be awesome. You'll love it. And it's never happened to me, but I've got friends that said, and then somebody else walked up and said, would you pray for me? One guy literally had a healing line right in the grocery store because one person got healed. He said he walked by this lady and God said, pray for her. He said, I turned around, looked at her and said, huh. So he said, I thought, well, I better make sure I'm hearing the voice. Now, the devil's not going to tell you to go up and pray for somebody. The devil ain't going to tell you to do that. So he said, I walked back by and the Holy Spirit said, pray for her. And he said, I just said, ma'am, could I pray for you? Oh, would you pray? And she said, I need this, this, and this. And he laid hands on her. She was healed immediately. And whatever it was a visible healing in her body. She started shouting and jumping and shouting. It's, you know, of course, in the grocery store, people are going to come watching like, what's going on? I got healed. I got healed. That man prayed for me. I got healed. When he walked up and said, hey, pray for me. Next thing you know, he's got a whole line of people in the grocery store, in and out, praying for him. Why? Because God ordained that man in them steps. Now, let me tell you something. That wasn't the first time he ever asked somebody to pray for him that that happened. Okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because everybody's got to learn. And I remember when I first started to... Let me just pause and take a drink. When I first started praying for people, man, I was really, I was not bold and courageous when walking up to ask people to pray for me.
Ephesians
1, 3 to 12. Now watch. And I would say, you know, I'd be like, excuse me, can I pray for you? And then I would just say, oh, Jesus, help this person. But wait, that's a very simple prayer. And you stopping to pray for somebody will mean so much to them that when you stop and pray, it's a simple prayer, they'll be like, wow, thank you. And then one day, I don't remember where I was at. Remember where I was at? You ever hear me tell the story? When I got the prayer, you've never missed one day in your life. I don't remember where I was. But anyways, one day I was praying for somebody, and my prayer was, Father, I know you have never missed one day of this person's life. And they started crying. And I'm like, wow. And in the mighty name of Jesus, and I pray for healing, strength, and blessing. Please don't let them cry, Jesus. And my prayer was very quick. Do you know that became my prayer now most every time I pray for someone? Lord, I don't know this person, but you told me to pray for him. And I know you've never missed one moment of their life. What's that say to them? That cuts through everything everybody has ever said about God and you as one of God's representatives. If that's the only thing you pray, you just set things in order in their life in the matter of a five-second prayer. And then just pray for God to bless them. Bless them. Bless them in their body. Bless them in their mind. Bless their family. Bless their money. In Jesus' mighty name. And then just tell them, I bless you. Now, they might want you to stand and talk to them and all that. But the idea is God ordained your steps to be on this earth so he could use you to do something on this earth. What difference does it make if you're a Daniel or you're just the guy that was a disciple that got Saul of Tarsus saved? Ananias was a disciple. He wasn't one of the great apostles. Love, do you have coffee out there? I need something hot there. And God said, hey, Ananias, I got a job for you. Ananias said, yes, sir. I want you to go to the street called Straight and inquire in the man, the tanner. And there's a guy named there named Saul of Tarsus. I want you to pray for him. Lord, that's the worst man against all of us. Yep. And he's a chosen vessel of mine. Go tell him. And Ananias went and did it. Now look at this. I got to finish reading these verses so we can be done. Welcome to all of you who are streaming with us tonight. You're welcome to sign in and tell us where you're streaming from. But if not, we welcome you tonight. Be what God made you to be. That's our topic tonight. I'm in Ephesians chapter 1. I've made it all the way down to verse 5, and we're going to read it again. have predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, of God's will. This predestination is according to his good will. I love this. To the praise of the glory of his grace. So because this is going to happen, it's going to show off God's grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved, predestined that you should walk in these footsteps, laid out before time ever began. Just say it with me. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood. We have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Not a little devil doing it. To the riches of God's grace that was laid out beforehand for you and I to walk in. It's already done. Beat the confusion. Beat the distraction. Beat the wounds. Get past it all, because God has placed his wonderful Holy Spirit on the inside of you. He gave you his righteousness. All your sins were reckoned over to Jesus, and his righteousness was reckoned to you, imputed to you. Hallelujah, the riches of his grace. Verse 8, which he made to abound toward us in wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself the day you was born. He wrote your name in a book. You might want to write right there on that page. I'm going to do it and draw an arrow up there, which he purposed in himself, Psalm 139:13. See, now we got the Old Testament and the New Testament coming together to say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, I've been studying this, and I'm actually working on a couple little mini books on this stuff so that we can take one thought, write a little book about it, and put it in people's hands so it's very easy to just read it, and get that understanding. But I really want you to get this. Fiery darts, once you're born again, that's just the enemy saying, oh, no, don't you remember what I did to you when you were young? That's who you are. And you have to look at him and say, that wasn't who I was then. And now by the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, it will never be who I am, because I wasn't that then. You attacked me. And because you attacked me, I get seven times and double for the shame of what you've done in my life. And according to Joel chapter 2, God is restoring to me the years that the locust has eaten. God restores to you and I in a manner that no one will ever even be able to tell that anything was ever out of order in your life. This is the word for today. Stop all the distractions at the door. Run like you've never run before. Get up and dance on the dance floor. Victory is yours for sure. That's our statement for this year. I have set before you an open door which no one shuts. I am he who opens and no one closes. And closes, and no one opens. Amen. Let's get back to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to get these verses done tonight. Having made known, verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he, God, notice that he's capitalized, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him, in Christ. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined. Here it comes again. According to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, what he wrote in your book when you was a baby, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Well, we got to read 13 and 14. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, full of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Guys, this thing is so set up, so laid out before the foundations of the world. All we got to do is just shut the distractions down long enough to be alone with God and say, Father, lead me into the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. I remember a time in my life when I did not any way understand this much about God's holy word. And I remember praying a prayer saying, God, you got to help me understand what the Bible is all about. I grew up in church, guys. My mom and dad were pastors. And my mom and dad trained us in the Bible from day one. I mean, we had these records called Your Story Hour Records, which was the Bible animated on a big 33 record thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was the whole Bible live theater form with sound effects and everything. And man, we went through that series, I don't know, who knows, 50, 100 times when we were kids. And it was just ingrained in us, the things of God. But see, no matter how much they did that, there had to come a point where I said in my own heart, what does this Bible mean? What does this book mean to me? Thank God my mom understood it. And for those of you that missed it, mom wrote a book and we read it here for Christmas. It's an amazing book. And we'll get it published. I'm already talking to publishers. You guys keep praying. We're going to get it published. I had to come to an understanding of this book. And a great man of God, a prophet of God, prophesied over me. And he said, you're going to get a control of your thinking processes. I speak that over you today. You're going to get a control over your thinking processes. Your ways are going to change. The ways of your mind are going to change. Huh. The ways of your heart are going to become precise and accurate because you give yourself to the Word of God to come to the understanding of it in Jesus' mighty name. And I learned this from the great men of God that I have followed. Dr. Lester Sumrall, Dr. Oral Roberts, Dr. Mark T. Barkley. And then after Dr. Barkley, Barry Spell, Jesse DePlanis, Brother Copeland, and Dr. Winston and all these men. I've learned this. Write down the verses that stand out to you while I'm preaching. Write them on a piece of paper. Now, mine are no longer on a paper like this. Mine's in my notepad like this. And some days I feel like I need to print all of those off so that I can have it on paper in case somebody ever does something stupid over here on the phone. And then you got to start reading them out loud. Go ahead.
This is a great thing to do when you have so many notes. This is what I've done before. When you have so many notes, email it to yourself, and then you can print it off. So you have the paper.
Yeah. Email it to yourself and print it. Now, let me say this. If you follow us very long, that list of verses is going to get real long. And they're going to, and I, what I'm telling you is write the verses that stand out to you. Not every verse I read may stand out to you, but as soon as one does, write it down. Then here's what to do next. Take all of those verses and say, well, on Monday, I'm going to read these verses. And then on Tuesday, I'll read these verses. And then on Wednesday, I'll read these verses. Because it won't be long. I'm going to have in my preaching, by the Spirit of God, you're going to get 50, 60, 70 verses. And you'll be like, well, how can I remember all them? Don't worry about it. On Monday, read this 10 verses, 15. On Tuesday, read this 10 verses, 15, whatever. And you might have seven different lists of verses and then start over again on Monday and read them again. Because what's going to happen when all of those verses start connecting together, all of a sudden you're going to be like, oh, Jesus, I got this. And then you'll be unstoppable. And what is it called? It's called revelation knowledge. Now, I got to give you one more set of verses. And then we'll be done. Is it time to be done yet? Brother Roger, do you got four more hours somewhere? John chapter 14. John 14, 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You and I, when we ask the Father and Jesus by the Holy Spirit to do something, if it's not outside of wisdom, he's going to do it so that Jesus is going to get some glory. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, look at verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. How long is the helper going to be with us?
Forever.
Forever. Who's the helper? Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Look at what this says. For he dwells with you, will be in you. The Holy Spirit of God is going to live right in here. Now, guys, some of you have made a statement. It don't matter how hard I try, I can't figure this out. But you got to stop saying that. Because the Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. If you've ever said, fill me with your Holy Spirit, he's living in there. Let's go to verse 21. I'm in John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them. It is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Whoops, I was supposed to read 20 first. Sorry, we'll read 20 now. And at that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. In this one chapter, by the Holy Spirit, our Father shows us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit comes to live right in here. And it doesn't matter what that terrible thing was that happened that the enemy has tried to convince you your whole life that's who you are. Rebuke it, condemn it, bind it, take the blood of Jesus to your conscience daily, purge it, and live in these verses. Now watch this. The last verse is 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have made you their home the moment you're born again. Pastor, I'm a mess. I can't have God going with me. No, it's God going with you that causes you to no longer be the mess. Quit trying to clean yourself up first in order to come to God. You don't have any ability to. Come to God first, and he brings Jesus' righteousness, and then that cleans up all the rest of it. I'm preaching better than you're staring right now. Foundation of the world.
I didn't know I was staring.
Before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God saw you and knew you and predestined you and me to be in him. And it doesn't matter what the enemy's done with fiery darts and bad people. All of that falls off. And if you'll come and you'll listen and learn how to do spiritual warfare, that stuff will be gone from your life like that, and it'll never return. And you'll be like, this is the most miraculous thing I've ever seen. And I got the revelation of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Dark beings left my life. They left me. Why? It could no longer try to convince me that's what it is. Brother Kim Welling's like, no, Jesus righteousness was imputed to you. I'm like, he imputed righteousness to me? He kept saying, you're a priest. How do you not know this? I'm like, nobody ever taught me this doctrine, brother. And there was many that had taught it, but I was so bound by religion, I couldn't see it until that day. But when he said that, it set me free. And now I am free indeed. And I'm like David, I don't withhold the law of righteousness from the great assembly. I share it every time I come. Before you were formed, God wrote your name in a book. All your days are already written. Every day to just say, Holy Spirit, you live in me. Give me power today to overcome. He will. He is. Get your mind focused on the Spirit of God on the inside, and all of this stuff just go away. Will it really, Pastor? Yeah, it'll just go away. I'll say it again. my pastor, Dr. Mark T. Barkley, he's trying to quit them cigarettes. And his pastor told him, every time you light one up, just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this cigarette. The day's coming when I'll no longer need this in my life. And then light it up and smoke it. He's like, are you kidding me, pastor? He goes, no, just do it. Because what ends up happening is once you say the blood of Jesus is bigger than that cigarette enough times, all of a sudden on the inside, you're like, well, what do I need that for? And never fought it another day in his life. Why? Because number one, he got rid of the condemnation. That's the biggest battle. And then he just built the blood bigger than the nicotine. Well, that doesn't take too long to do, to build the blood bigger than the nicotine, because nicotine don't have nothing compared to the blood of Jesus. Well, Pastor, doesn't that violate the blood of Jesus? What? You taking the blood and pummeling the enemy with it? That don't violate it. That's what it's designed for. That's what it's designed for. It's that it will purge your conscience from dead works so that you can serve the living. In Jesus' mighty name. 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 Do you guys know how many more verses I have? Wait, let me say it different. Do you know how many more verses on this the Holy Spirit has? The Holy Spirit's got a whole lot more verses on this. But now it comes down to, like Brother Osteen used to say, the heart and mind can only receive as long as the butt can endure. I forget who it was. Somebody, I forget. Maybe it's Brother Jerry or somebody. They came in and they sat down on the front row where their seat was for one of the Brother Kenneth E. Hagin's camp meetings, and Brother Copeland was preaching. It was John Osteen and Norval Hayes. And John sat down next to Norval and said, well, did you bring a lunch? Because you might need to share it with me before Brother Kenneth gets done. And John Osteen was so good because he could teach a good message in 28 minutes. He was really good at it. But that's just because he was a good Baptist. I mean, I said something nice about the Baptist. Let's go back and grab that verse one more time. Psalm 139. I love this verse. Psalm 139. Verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very, very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance even before it was formed. I love it. I love it when you crack an egg open, because I can't. How are you ever going to see inside of a woman who's got an egg that's fertilized? You ain't ever going to do that, you know. But, well, I'm sure there's some dumb person that ever tried that. But watch. The point is, you crack open one of them good farm eggs, and it's got the white and the yolk, and it's got that little red dot on it.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, there's a chicken right there, you know. And it's the idea that the moment that dot appeared in your mama's womb, you didn't have eyes, ears, nose, teeth. You didn't have legs. You didn't have arms. You didn't have nothing. You was a dot of blood. The moment that happened, God wrote a book. And your name's on it. And it's in heaven. And verse 17 says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum? If I should count them, they would be more more in number than the sands when I awake, I am still with you. Now listen, some of you have faced some severe battles in your life, severe, and you've been abused, and I mean, I know some of the stories of some of you that's here tonight, and they're severe. But do you know the blood of Jesus purges your conscience and your subconscious? That's why you guys hear me praying for you while you sleep. Because while you sleep, your guard goes down and it gives God the ability to go in behind those walls that you got set up, that you had to set up because of the trauma.
Yeah.
And he's getting in there. And he's doing a mighty work. You might be remembering your dreams, but I guarantee you, you're having them because I haven't stopped praying. And I will not stop praying until I see you victorious and free in Jesus' mighty name. And then I'm going to pray all the more because I want you to see the next level of your life. Amen? Think about it. You might take these verses, 13 through 18. Write them in a note on your phone. Send them to yourself in an email. Send them in to yourself in a text. Put them on a note card, something. Do something to begin to speak these verses out loud and say, Father, thank you for Pastor Sam being obedient the other night, speaking your word for our lives so that we can see and know who you are inside of us. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll take the blood and you'll take the name and you'll take the righteousness of God and you'll just remind the devil, no, Jesus' righteousness is imputed into me. It's already done. I'm born again, devil. It's already done. I've been imputed with Jesus' righteousness and my sins were imputed on Jesus and his blood just cast it right in the sea. Yeah, ever watch them play volleyball, you know, they pick one up off the ground that pops way up in the air, and then that next person goes up. When Jesus hit your sins like that volleyball, they went clear to the sea of his forgetfulness,
yeah.
Never to be remembered against you another day.
Amen.
Never to be remembered against you another day. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. He's free indeed. I encourage you. This is the year of the open door that sets us up for the abundance of more. You're going to have more of his grace, more of his mercy, more of his love. That's an old hymn. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me, more about Jesus. All right. You're going to get more because I'm not stopping this year until you and I get more and then more and then more and then more and then more. And we're living with a wide open door and the abundance of more. And if you didn't listen the last 2 days to Brother Dutch Sheets, you need to go listen to his last 2 days. Because if Dutch hadn't said nothing about any of this, and you'd have thought he's in my prayer room listening to what God said to me by what he said in his program. But you know what that means? That means you and I are right there on that cutting edge, hearing exactly what God is saying in this day, and that same deliverance and victory is available for you every single day. We're proud of every one of you. If we don't know your name, we want to. Make sure you click like, subscribe, and hit the bell because what I just did tonight is what we do every single night here in one way or another. Well, to the best of our ability, sometimes that ability is limited by apps, but we bind them apps from ever doing anything wrong again in Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Everybody pray it right out loud. Say, Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
Lift your hands. I receive all of your grace and mercy.
I receive all of your grace and mercy.
I receive all of your love and your righteousness.
I receive all of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
And I am your chosen vessel.
And I am your chosen vessel.
I will do what you want me to do.
I will do what you want me to do.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. I feel like the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews. And time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Samson, of Barak, of Esther. Think about Esther.
Oh, my.
I mean, you want to talk about a horrendous thing happening to you in your youth. She's captured by a foreign king, taken from her family to a foreign nation. She don't know anybody except, whoops, there's Uncle Mordecai. Hallelujah, my uncle's here. And she knows she's in the harem. She is going to be picked maybe to be in the harem of this king. That's not every little Jewish girl's dream. But Mordecai looked at her and said, how do you know? But for such a time as this, you have come to this kingdom. And Esther, a young teenage girl, probably 16, 18 years old, saved the whole nation. And may God help us. We need somebody to stand up right now and save our whole nation from this mess that we're in. In Jesus' mighty name. All right, I'm gonna just go to preaching again. So let's not do that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll receive communion. I'm so glad I'm home.
Me too.
Aren't you glad I'm home?
I am glad
you're
home.
I'm so glad I'm home and sitting here with you guys doing this. It's like, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let me see. I'm trying to get my communion notes. I like it here on my phone. It'll be all right. Everybody just hang on.
We're hanging on.
Hang
We're
on.
Fine.
Hang on. Everybody just hang on, would you? There we go. See there how fast that went? I just like it on my phone. Can you see it? Not yet.
Oh, that.
Why isn't it shared? Well, you might have to hit the share button. Here we go. There we go. That's amazing. It just totally takes over my screen and my computer.
Uh-huh.
There we go. All right, here's our communion. We're going to read the verses right out of the Bible, and then we will pray the prayer of salvation, and then you can receive communion with us. Now watch this. If while I'm going through this, you're like, wow, I really like this, I'm going to encourage you, start now and take screenshots. Now, it's all on our website, but when you got a screenshot, now you don't have to go to the website. It's right on your phone. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 11, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, Jesus' redemptive work, until he comes. Let a man examine himself. This is the process. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Pause for a minute. Now, I want you to think about this. When they brought the lamb to the chief priest for the sacrifice of atonement, the priest didn't examine the person to see if they sinned. He already knew they had sinned. The chief priest examined the sacrifice. And Jesus is our sacrifice. God's love is perfect. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear and its torment in Jesus' name. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. So today, be made perfect in him. That's awesome, isn't it? The prayer of salvation. No matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, no matter what's gone on in your life, if you pray this prayer in the next 2 minutes, you will be right with God if you mean it from the depths of your heart. I'm going to pray it slowly, so you just speak it with us. You might want to click a quick screenshot of it, and then keep right on and praying it with us. Every part of this is right out of a verse of the Bible. So this is a very biblical prayer. Here we go. I thank you, God, my Father, in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day for me. Reach out your hands and say this. I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I have been made a new creation in you, Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Welcome to the family of God. Pause and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
here's some instructions. Darkness just turned to light because Jesus, the light of the world, just came to live inside. Fear turned to faith because the author and finisher of your faith, Jesus, came to live inside. You are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you have become an heir of God, and now are a joint heir with Jesus the Christ. Here's some foundation verses that you can screenshot and read them and study them. I recommend read them right out loud because they mean more to you when you get your eyes and your ears and your mouth all involved. It takes on a whole new revelation. Here's our email address and website. Like, subscribe, and hit the bell on whatever platform that you have joined us, and we'll always be there to be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. And it, whoops. And if you're having trouble being connected, remember, turn your phone off and turn it back on and try again. If you're still having trouble being connected, send me an email and say, hey, Pastor, is there any way you can help me? We've had a lot of people get connected to us, and we can help you. Let's receive our communion elements together. Get you some bread and grape juice, fruit of the vine. And if you don't have that, just a glass of water. You can consecrate that water to the things of God. Jesus turned the water into wine, and it'll be a blessing. All right, ready? Hold up your elements. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread, representing your broken body, and this juice, representing your blood, poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotion, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supply in my body, from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you endured the cross, despising the shame, and you called it all joy, and we thank you for it. Now, we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me.
Now,
I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed, to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus,
I
have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away, and behold, all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague, every curse must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus'
mighty name.
Amen. And amen. Let's receive. Hallelujah. 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 Now, before we sing, everybody just pause a moment. That worked pretty good. Just hit that old X button and bam, it's all gone. I want to see if I can find that.
Find what?
That song. There it is. Eliza E. Hewitt wrote it. Did you know that?
I didn't. I don't know what song you meant.
More about Jesus? You don't know that one? That wasn't a Baptist song?
Nope.
Well, all right then. We're going to fix it to teach it to you right now. Share the screen. You ready? Here we go. There's the words. Can you see them? All right, I can't seem to make him any larger. All right, here we go. More about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. It's a good song.
It is. Very nice.
Now, I'm just going to read the rest of these so we don't sing all the verses. See, now it's late. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Wow. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord. Hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own. More of his kingdom's sure increase. More of his coming, Prince of Peace.
That's a beautiful song.
Now that is a good one.
It is. I love it.
That's a good one. in Jesus' mighty name. Well, I heard Sister Phyllis go in and out and in and out, and she ended up on out. So.
And she's back.
All right.
Because I don't want to miss my reading.
Did you make it, ma'am?
Are you still on?
We had just said Sister Phyllis got bounced twice, but don't give up. She'll be back.
I don't know what happened, but I was really like it was nothing. I was off.
I know.
Okay, but I'm back now.
It happens to me in several different places, Phyllis. That I'm just talking and I got full set of signal and I'm gone.
Yeah.
Absolutely, as though the devil really messed me up in the middle of communion. Now that's not allowed, honey.
All right, let's go to let's do the Ephesians 3 verses again.
Okay.
And just for the sake of it, make sure you go back and listen again while you're finding the verses. We sang more about Jesus.
Oh, more about Jesus. Oh, no. Oh, I love that song. Okay, yeah, we'll do that. Oh, my. Am I to assume you want chapter 3, verses 14 through 20?
Yep.
That is fabulous. Okay. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And I do want to go ahead with Revelations 1:5-7.
Amen.
Because I did finish taking communion, and I love these verses after communion. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Thank you for letting me read the benediction.
Amen. Well, I'm going to read the story behind more about Jesus.
All right. Oh, good.
Eliza Edmonds Hewitt was born 1851, graduated as valedictorian of her normal school class, went on to teach in public schools in Philadelphia. All of this suddenly ended when she suffered a debilitating back injury and became bedridden for an extended period of time. Could she have been bitter? Certainly. Could she have complained to God about the unfairness of it all? None of us would have blamed her. If she did, yeah, we would. Don't be bitter, but anyways. But the truth is, from her bed, she studied English literature and began to sing and write. She took this time to learn more about Jesus. This was her prayer to the Lord, that he opened her eyes so she would see more of him and reflect more of him. Some of her poems became known to Professor John R. Sweeney, who set them to music. Eliza's back condition improved, and she was able to resume some of her duties. She became Sunday school superintendent of the Northern Home for Friendless Children, and later at Calvin Presbyterian Church. She died in 1920 at the age of 70.
Wow.
And she wrote, "More about Jesus, let me learn. More of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ." Here we go. That's all we got for tonight. Not really, but it's all we're going to give you. And to all of our brothers and sisters over here on Face YouTube, I feel the Holy Spirit tonight. That's awesome, John. All right. Sister Phyllis, Audrey Van Gessel said hi to you.
Hello, Audrey. I'm going to YouTube now and watch the whole thing all over again.
For those of you that want 4 more hours, there it is. I'm tired and I'm going to sleep. All right, until we see you again, tomorrow morning right here for prayer. And I'll be here.
Yay!
Woo! Hey, bless you guys. I sure do love all y'all. Remember, 2024, the year of the open door.
Good.
Wait a minute. I got to get my statement. The year of the open door that leads to the abundance of more. In Jesus' mighty name. Stop all the distractions at the door. Run like you've never run before. Get up and dance on the dance floor. Victory is yours for sure.
Hallelujah.
That's really good, man. That's really good. I like it when it rhymes. I'm a rhymer. I like Dr. Seuss. All right. See you guys. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
There we go. There we go. Bless Phyllis. Love you. Brother Dan, love you.
Thank you for everything you do for us. And thank you for your prayer tonight.
Yeah, and we'll be praying, Phyllis. We really
thank you, dear.
Yeah, love you.
And we love you. Audrey, Richard, Rebecca, Wiener, Roger, Richard. Did I say Richard? Yep.
Tracy.
Rebecca, Tracy, yep. And everybody else that was here, we love you. Thank you for being with us. Sunday was here earlier, too.
Yeah. God bless Sunday.